May the hope of God fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Today is Pentecost, when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Our readings today both focus on the Spirit's coming, but they could not be more different. In the Gospel of John, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit as he is eating his final supper with his friends. He tells them that he is going to leave them, but he will not leave them alone. He promises that when he is gone, the Spirit, the Advocate, will come to be with them. The Spirit will be an advocate, a counselor, one who comes alongside to accompany them in their life of faith. The Spirit is a spirit of truth, and it will teach you and guide you. The First Nations translation calls the Spirit the wisdom keeper, who will always walk beside you and guide you on the good road. On this night, Jesus has washed his disciples' feet and given them a new commandment, that they love one another even as he has loved them. If you love me, he says, you will continue to walk in the ways I have shown you. And you remember that the earliest Christians called themselves the people of the way, or followers of the way of Jesus. But Jesus knows that this love is not something the disciples can do alone. And so he promises to send his Spirit to abide with them. It is an intimate moment, Jesus eating with his followers and friends, offering them hope and courage, even in the face of the trauma and loss that is to come. Do not be troubled, he tells them, and do not be afraid. My Holy Spirit will stay with you always, and it will give you peace. In the book of Acts, the coming of the Holy Spirit is anything but peaceful. The disciples are waiting together, as Jesus has told them to do before he ascended into heaven, as we read last week. It is the festival of Pentecost, a Jewish festival, which celebrates the day that the Hebrew people received the law which guides their life. Jerusalem is filled with people who have come for the festival, Jews who have come from as far as Rome to celebrate together. But the disciples are gathered in their house, and suddenly from heaven there comes a sound like the rush of a violent wind, which fills the entire house. Tongues of flame appear and rest on each of them, and they begin to speak in other languages. I can imagine them tumbling out on the street, speaking to the strangers who are passing by. Strangers who have come from near and far, who speak many languages, but suddenly, in this strange city, they can understand what the disciples are saying. And what they are saying is all about God and God's deeds of power. They tell the story of Jesus, who healed the sick and fed the 5,000, who ate with outcasts and sinners and loved them all, and who was raised from the dead. This story captures our imagination because it is so vividly told, with these big, powerful images, loud rushing wind and tongues of flame. But perhaps it also fascinates us because of the vision it offers of reaching across what divides us. Carrie Day writes in the Christian Century that the miracle of Pentecost is the miracle of community. Community across differences made possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, the disciples experience a holy disorientation, as they are pulled by wind and flame out of their comfortable house and into the street filled with strangers and foreigners. And yet, in the transformative power of divine love, they are able to tell about the love of God in the person of Jesus to everyone they see. The joy of Pentecost is that it gives us a vision and hope for beloved community made possible by the work of the Holy Spirit. It gives us a vision and hope of peace between peoples, between communities, between nations. The rest of the book of Acts will tell of how the disciples, empowered by the Holy Spirit, create such a community centered in Christ. A community which crosses boundaries of rich and poor, slave and master, male and female, Jew and Gentile. A community in which the most vulnerable are welcomed and cared for. John and Luke offer such different pictures of the Holy Spirit. Yet, in both instances, the coming of the Spirit is fulfillment of a promise. In both stories, the Spirit brings truth about God and the saving story of Jesus. These two stories describe two ways that the Spirit acts in the lives of believers. The Spirit dwells in us, guiding us, kindling and strengthening faith. The Spirit comforts us with the very presence of God's constant love. And the Spirit empowers us to go out into the world with that love that we have experienced. The Spirit prods us to look beyond ourselves, to see the neighbors who also need to know the love of God, and to speak that love to them across whatever differences might divide us. Pastor Steve Garness Holmes has written a beautiful poem about Pentecost and the work of the Holy Spirit then and now. And I hope the words are coming up. Oh, good. Pentecost. We were sitting and talking about how he loved us when it flared up in us. Not a memory, but inward fire, the love itself. Like a mother's love that drives her into a burning house to save her children. His love, this unbidden passion for the world, flamed up in us and drove us into the streets to seek the stranger, to embrace the foreigner, and to speak. How to convey it? This love for all who'd been told they were outsiders, in languages not our own. Locked doors opened, fruit placed in their mouths, hands laid on their shoulders, belonging nested in the crib of their hearts. Homecoming. That day, there were no strangers. We were all kin, all learning how to listen together for the first time to this mystery rising up to greet us in each other. All of us losing our tongues for the language of God. Then we knew that the fire Jesus had not been put out. It was in us, now spreading, yes, actually, like wildfire. May we too know the peace and love and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our church. Amen.